Ladies and gentlemen, Parliament returns and Laura Tingle is going to tell us all about it. Laura, congratulations on your drug test. Welcome back.
Philip, there's somebody you haven't mentioned the drug test results of. I'm just mentioning that in passing.
But who's that? I'm exempt.
You, Philip.
I'm exempt. And exemptions are a very important part of modern politics. Now, Laura, so much to talk about. Tell me what didn't go on, because I find that almost more interesting than what did.
I've got to say there's a little bit of cruelty to dumb animals in politics at the moment, isn't there, Philip, wherever you look. Parliament's back. We've hardly missed it, really. They haven't sat for 5 weeks and they've come back and the Prime Minister says he's got a plan. And I've got to say, it's not a plan that I recognise from the election campaign. Maybe I just missed it, but it's all about testing welfare recipients and stopping sort of children being sort of tampered with online and all these things, which are all very virtuous, but there's sort of this great morality aspect to it and a lot of infrastructure, but there's not really any sort of talk about what the government's doing about sort of various elephants in the room, like the economy.
Well, so look, the reason I mentioned things that didn't happen or aren't happening is because you have raised them. You point out that a lot of things which absolutely seemed were deemed urgent are being kicked down the road like a can.
Of course the government had said that the Medivac legislation had to be rolled back because, you know, hashtag national security, but that's not happening for a few more weeks. Sometime in October they might get round to it. The economy, as I keep mentioning, that's apparently fine. We don't have to worry about the fact that growth is at record lows and the lowest level since the global financial crisis. That's all fine as well. It's a really strange time, Philip. We had a lot of debate about religious freedom. That's apparently sort of disappeared as well. And you actually had this sort of strange situation today with Parliament coming back, that the only people who really had anything to say about anything were the Senate crossbenchers, Jackie Lambie on the one hand and the Greens with their attempt to get the National Integrity Commission discussed.
Weren't they sneaky though? Weren't the Greens sneaky?
It's a
bloody disgrace that they can do that. They can sneak it through the Senate. Tell me it won't get through the reps.
Well, I suspect it won't get through the reps because, of course, the government's got a much more excellent National Integrity Commission plan than the Greens do. Just ask them, except they don't have it ready yet. And, of course, it wouldn't involve any sort of nasty public hearings or anything like that. Just to put this in context, Philip, the Greens keep trying to put up a federal ICAC, and I think it's about the 10th time they've done it. This current legislation actually was introduced into the old Parliament last year and brought back a couple of months ago. And as you say, they were very sneaky. They actually just put it on the notice paper today during private members' business. And I think the dynamics of what happened in the Senate were actually quite interesting. Labor, of course, Labor has always backed a federal ICAC, but it probably had nowhere to go given what's happening in New South Wales at the moment but to back them. But the interesting thing was the Greens needed One Nation to support the legislation to get it through because the government wasn't backing it. And One Nation initially said no, they weren't going to back it because it could falsely accuse people. And then obviously decided that was a bad idea, so just abstained and it got through. But I doubt it will get through the House of Representatives.
You at the weekend, you talked about watching treasurers twist, turn and slide around the dull but brutal percentages that can be uncomfortable experience. There's been a lot of twisting and turning.
There has been a lot of twisting and turning. And I was talking about the sort of those near-death moments in politics when either politicians win an election campaign, which they're not really expecting to win. Or for treasurers, it's the national accounts that come out every quarter. And when they're expecting a bad number and it's not quite as bad as they thought. And we had that wonderful spectre of Josh Frydenberg last week jumping up and down, which he was still doing today, saying how wonderful the national accounts were because we'd had a 0.5% growth in the last quarter. And that was better than Singapore and various other places. But it's this very strange thing, Philip. We're all understandably obsessed about the idea of the economy officially going into recession. That's contracting by the Bureau of Statistics standards for 6 months. But what's happening this time around is so different. It's not that the problem isn't that the economy's going to crash like it may have done in the old boom and bust days, but it's just sort of sliding off into oblivion more than anything else. And everybody's feeling quite depressed about it, except Josh Frydenberg, who thinks it's all pretty good and doesn't think that there's anything that needs to be done to fix it.
You, last week I was complaining that the opposition isn't being very oppositional, but I must say there is a voice of opposition, and that's coming from the Reserve Bank.
Isn't this interesting, Philip? Peter Harcher had a great piece about this in the Herald on the weekend, but in general, we've just had this growing sort of persistent, very polite, very well articulated argument from the Reserve Bank, which is one of the few institutions in Australia that is sort of immune from the political process, ironically thanks to the coalition itself under Peter Costello, because they were trying to make a point about Reserve Bank independence. But the governor of the Reserve Bank, Philip Lowe, has made it quite clear that monetary policy, that is interest rates, just can't keep being relied upon to fix the economy. And that's partly because it's not working as effectively as it used to. And because we've got a low inflation, low growth economy, the only things that you can really do to sort of get things going again are to boost productivity, which the Reserve Bank can't do, boost inflation, which goes against the grain of what it's supposed to do, or get people spending money. And to do that, you may need, as a government, to put money in their hands via spending in the budget. And once again, that's something that they can't do. And he's being very clear that the government really should be doing something, or at the very least changing the terms of the discussion about what governments do in these circumstances.
I'm having a mingle with tingle. Oh, the results have just come in from Giuseppe Brescianello and the boys. They all had to be drug tested, and I'm afraid they will not be playing the theme in the future. They can, absolutely outrageous. Now, this brings us back to Jackie Lambie. Someone for whom I have incredibly mixed feelings, but let's just look at her and this drug testing thing. She knows about the problems of drugs from her own experience and family life. Mm. How is she playing it? Do you understand what she's after?
There are two aspects of what Jackie Lambie's saying. One of them is that she's essentially said she's open to the idea of the government extending this the cashless sort of a welfare card. That is the idea that you give people who are on welfare a card with which they can spend on goods that are of value, like food, and that they can't squander it on alcohol, is the sort of general argument. She's open to the idea of testing that more broadly, but she's been really adamant about the idea that the sort of drug testing of welfare recipients is just a nonsense. She says, look, this isn't about protecting people from drugs, it's about punishing them. And she says there's no point trying to punish addicts or people who've got dependency problems by threatening to take their money away from them. They'll just have to find another way of getting the money, which won't help anybody. And it's certainly of no use when there aren't the facilities in place to help them get over their addictions. So I think it's actually quite it's a strong and it's quite a rational position to have, and she's quite adamant about it. And so it's not a horse trading position on this issue. It's quite an articulate one.
As we know, politicians are addicted to power. We don't have to give them a drug test to know that. But I would have thought the incumbent Prime Minister must feel absolutely ultra-confident. The polls show him surging, elbow in retreat. Is he totally in command of the House?
Well, I suppose I'd sort of think that was probably... there's been a tone of that in the coverage of the polls, but I think, you know, it's always better to be going up than down in polls, Philip, but this early in an election cycle, I don't think it matters all that much. I don't think he is in all that much control. And the bizarre thing to me about the government's approach to coming into this parliamentary term has all been about, you know, we're going to show that we've got a plan, not like Labor, and it's once again, it's all been Anthony Albanese asked a question in Question Time today, which is, why are you talking about Labor? Why aren't you talking about the economy? And he has a point there, because Labor, as we've discussed, is completely down on its druthers. There, we've had Mark Butler out today having a shot at Wayne Swan, who's now the party president, saying we've got to completely rethink our policies and, you know, recognise what happened to us at the last election campaign. So why the government feels that they need to concentrate on Labor in those circumstances, apart from the fact that it's easy pickings, is not really all that clear to me. But it doesn't, it sort of, the way it comes across, in fact, is a bit like somebody who's still really insecure of their position. They have to sort of shout it a little bit too loudly.
I have a plan, and that is I'll speak to you every Monday, and I'm relieved about your drug test, because now let me share the truth with the listener, and that is, it's not an aspidistra. It's quite clearly a marijuana plant. LNL on RN.